following message is by Brother Connor Harris, Associate Pastor at North Bryant Baptist Church. For more information on what we believe and for many other helpful Bible lessons, we encourage you to visit our website at northbryantbaptist.org. That is northbryantbaptist.org.
If you'd like to be turning to Psalm 120 this morning, I'm going to ask you a question that you can think to yourself. You don't have to shout out any answers. Probably wouldn't hear you anyway because you got your mask on. When was the last time that you felt totally incapable? Maybe you were dealing with a problem or you had an obstacle in your life. You just felt like you had absolutely no power to do what you needed to do or you thought you needed to do to fix the problem that you had. I tell you, for me, there's very few things that are more frustrating than having problems with my computer. And a few years ago, I like to think that I know a good deal about my computer. I could tell you the parts and what they do. But a few years ago, mine broke. And that was one of the most frustrating weeks I spent thinking that I could fix my own computer. And so I would work on it and I'd look at things and think, well, I should be able to do this, but ultimately, I had to come to the realization that I was incapable. I had no power to fix the problem that I was facing, and there was even that little part in the back of my mind that, every time I would change something on my computer, I was really just making it worse, right? I was not capable of fixing that, and I think as humans, we're proud. We don't like to admit that we're not able to do something. We don't like to admit to ourselves or the people around us that we're incapable at times, that we don't have the power to fix the problems that we have. But when you're serving the Lord, admitting your inability, admitting your incapability is a good thing. It is a good thing to realize as a servant of the Lord that you do not have the power within yourself to fight all the battles that you may run into, to accomplish the commission God has given you, His will. It's a good thing to lean on the Lord. In Psalm 120, the psalmist had a similar problem where he was incapable, where he didn't know how to fix the problem he was fighting. He could not fight the enemy that was coming against him. He was up against a wearisome enemy, which was beyond his power, a deceitful tongue, lying lips, those who were deceiving others about him, those who were lying about him and slandering him. And as he dwelt among the ungodly, the psalmist, he was oppressed by the speech of others. He was unable to deal with the issue himself. He was not capable of that. But in that time of weakness, the psalmist knew who he could turn to. Though he was powerless, the Lord was a mighty warrior. While he could not fix the problem he was up against, he could not face that enemy, he trusted that God had the power to do so, and he rested in him. And it's my prayer today that we'll come away from Psalm 120, we'll come away from this text with an even greater confidence in God as our deliverer, and we'll come away with a fresh new perspective on why God is worthy of our praise and he's worthy of our worship. Read with me in Psalm 120. It says, a song of ascents. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue. What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows, with glowing coals of the broom tree. Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. I am for peace, but when I speak, they are for war. At the beginning of this psalm, we see this note. It's a song of ascents, or a song of degrees, your Bible might say. And if you were in my Sunday school class a few years back, you may remember that we looked at several of these songs of ascents. They had become these traditional psalms that, the Jews would recite and remember on their way ascending to Jerusalem, ascending to the temple to go and worship God. And so many of them deal with the character of the Lord and reasons to praise the Lord and reflecting on how God had delivered Israel or had delivered the psalmist. They were preparing them for worship, these songs of ascent, and you can see them for the next several psalms. They have this little note there. Here, this psalm was a reflection by the psalmist, and he was recalling a time when the Lord had delivered him. He was preparing his heart to worship, and he's recalling this time when he called out to the Lord, and the Lord answered him. It gave him all the more reason to praise the Lord from the heart. And he begins this psalm, we see in verse 1, by saying, "In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me." I think there's perhaps maybe a very simple beginning of this psalm, we think. I called out to the Lord, and he answered me, but let's not take this for granted. That blessing, that we can call out to our Lord, and that he answers us. The psalmist didn't take it for granted. This was a precious thing to him, and it should be to us as well. He says that in my distress, I could call to the Lord. I did. I called to the Lord, and he answered me. Again, to be in distress is to be under those that pressure of maybe an enemy you're facing or a situation in life. It's trouble. It's distressing. It's pressing in on you. The psalmist faced this when things were closing in around him, but he took pleasure. He took confidence in the Lord and the simple truth that when he called out to the Lord, God answered him. Again, not something to take for granted, and I don't want to breeze past this as we go into the situation he faced. We haven't even looked necessarily at what the situation he's crying out about is, but the fact that he could cry out to God and God answered him is reason enough to praise the Lord. And there are people in this world who don't have that confidence. They don't have a refuge to turn to. There are many in the world who don't believe in God, and so certainly they don't find any help in him, and they don't trust in him. They don't find any comfort there. And there are those who trust in gods that are not gods, really, but are breathless, have no speech, don't have ears to hear them, can't help them. And so they don't find any help in the gods they trust in. And there's so many people in this world that are left to endure without that refuge. They're left to endure without that hope because they don't trust in the Lord. But those who trust in the Lord are never put to shame, are never let down. I believe we saw that already in 1 Peter as Matt's been going through it. And he told us that, again, was preaching on Peter's words that, again, those who put their faith in this solid rock and the cornerstone in Christ, they're never going to be put to shame. When you trust in the Lord, you're never going to be ashamed of any trust, any faith that you put in the Lord. He's a sure refuge. And this is a precious thing to the psalmist. God was not oblivious to his problem. The psalmist wasn't too small. The issue he faced wasn't too small, even though it might seem like it, maybe from a human perspective. But God was not oblivious to him. God was not incapable of helping him. But God answered him because of his faith in him. And what a blessing to know that when you consider who God is, the holy creator, the one who made this universe, who is holy, that he hears our cries, to know that you are significant to God and that he doesn't just kind of glaze over what's happening in your life, but he knows what you face. And as we'll see, he knows the perfect way to help those who trust in him. Now, we're significant to the almighty, infinite God. And not because we have any merit, but because he's gracious, right? Not because we're anything to look at. We're anything to praise, but because God is loving and God is gracious. And we know today that in light of the gospel, in light of what Christ has done for us, we can confidently come to God with our needs, right? We can see in Hebrews, the writer of Hebrews says, we can boldly go to the throne of grace in our times of need because of Christ, because he intercedes for us. Even when those needs that we have seem impossible, even when they seem like things that, again, we can't think of any potential answer to the enemy we face. I can't think of one way to fight this battle. I can't think of one way to meet this enemy. That problem is not out of God's power. That problem is not more than our Lord. It's not too much for him to handle. The psalmist was facing an oppressive enemy. And he says it in verse 2. He kind of lets us into this issue he was facing. He says, "Deliver me, O Lord, from lying lips, from a deceitful tongue." The psalmist was remembering a time when he himself was assaulted by lying lips, by a deceitful tongue. And to be deceitful, that's literally the word, is the idea of being slack. It's not in good order, but it's loose. It's saying things. It's misleading people. The psalmist here, he's kind of repeating the same thing twice in different words, but it's just to emphasize here that the problem he faced was, again, it was other people who had lying lips, other people who were speaking evil about him, other people who were deceiving others about who he was. I think that becomes clear as you read on in the psalm that he's not talking about his own lying lips here. He's not talking about his own deceitful tongue, because we'll see in a moment he's talking about deliverance from his enemies, from other people who oppose him. The tongue is a powerful thing. You might think maybe it's a small thing that this psalmist feels like he has to cry out to the Lord to help him with people who are lying about him. But if you've ever been in the situation where people are lying about you, where people are deceiving others about you, they're speaking evil of you, and they're slandering your character, that can feel like a pretty hopeless situation, can it not? The tongue is a powerful thing. We saw a while back in James that the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. In Proverbs chapter 18, the writer says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits." Whether it's for good or evil, you can do great, incredible things with your tongue for evil purposes or for good purposes. And in this case, the psalmist, he was facing very wicked enemy, people who were using that powerful member, the tongue, to deceive others and to slander this man. Our speech has great potential for bad or for good. In this case, the tongue was wielded by enemies. And so we step back, and what could the psalmist have done here? What was the answer? When someone starts to lie about you, when they start to deceive other people about your character, what can you do about that? Is it in your power to keep someone from speaking? Is it in your power to keep a rumor from spreading? When you think about it, and you may be able to think of, again, your own life and experiences you faced where people lied about you and spreaded false information about who you are and slandered you, you may be able to think back to times like that, and you can't stop the person from starting that rumor. You can't stop it from being spread. You have no power over the lips of these other people to spread that rumor about you. You can be following the Lord. You can be doing what you're supposed to do, obeying God, and people can still lie about you. What are you going to do? What power do you have over that? The psalmist was in this situation where, you know, I don't know what to do. I can't do anything. I can't handle this enemy. It's oppressive. I can't stop the spread of these lies. I can't stop other people from lying about me. And especially today when we consider the instant communication that we have with one another through the various means of technology we have, how easy it is for false information to be spread about me or about you, lies to be spread so quickly. And suddenly when you start to think on it, you start to dwell on it without considering who God is. It's kind of depressing, is it not? It's kind of terrifying to think about the power someone's tongue can have over your life and that enemy, and how I can't do anything about that. I have no answers for that. But the psalmist knew where he could turn. We have this tendency maybe to not look to the Lord at times, and we just kind of stew in our own inability to fight our battles and to fight our enemies, and we proudly just kind of sit there. But the psalmist, instead of being consumed with worry or stress about this, you know, inescapable, seemingly, enemy, he turned to the Lord because he knew that God was able to deliver him. In verse 3, what does he say here? He says, "What shall be given to you, and what more shall be done to you, you deceitful tongue? A warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree." psalmist is he's sitting back and he's thinking, people are lying about me. People are spreading information about me. I can't do anything about it. I'm just sitting here being abused by the tongues of other people, by lying lips. I can't do anything about it, but the Lord can. In verse 3, what shall be given to you? You can almost picture it for the person who's lying, for those lying lips that are abusing the psalmist, for those that deceitful tongue. They're saying to themselves, well, what can anyone do to me? No one can stop me from talking bad. No one can do anything to these lying lips. No one can stop this enemy. I'm above any kind of judgment. But the psalmist says, what's going to be given to you? You want to know what's going to be done to you, you lying lips, you deceitful tongue. He says, a warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. I love that description. I love these kinds of very, very specific descriptions we get in the Psalms. And I think the psalmist, he carefully described how the Lord was going to act. This is how the Lord is going to answer this enemy that the psalmist couldn't handle. This is how God was going to respond to this cry for help. It's going to be like a warrior who's sending out an arrow, a sharp arrow, the coals of the broom tree, and that arrow's going to exact judgment on those lying lips, on the deceitful tongue. And just for a moment, I want to kind of break down that description. So God's answer, it's going to be like arrows. God's going to send it out. It's going to go where it's meant to go. It's going to be exact. It's going to pinpoint the problem that the psalmist is having. But you notice he doesn't just say an arrow, or arrows, I mean. He says a sharp arrow, sharp arrows. God's not just going to use arrows, he's going to use sharp arrows. It's going to be an effective response to this problem, an effective judgment of this enemy. But you know, if you gave Connor sharp arrows, I'm still going to be pretty ineffective. If you gave Connor a handful of sharp arrows, I'm still not going to be able to deal with most problems I face. But God is not like some clumsy novice archer that he doesn't know what to do with sharp arrows. How does the psalmist describe him? He says God's answer is not just going to be like sharp arrows. It's going to be like a warrior's sharp arrows. We're not just talking about sharp arrows. We're talking about arrows in the hands of a warrior, someone who is an expert, someone who is skilled at what they do, someone who knows exactly what to do with the arrow and how to put it exactly where it needs to go and to be the most effective with it. And lastly, what does he say? Not just a warrior's sharp arrows, but a warrior's sharp arrows with glowing coals of the broom tree. Your Bible might say a juniper tree or a juniper bush. A broom tree or a juniper, it was, again, for them, that was the type of wood, the type of material that would burn the most intensely and for the longest amount of time. I was reading that those who traveled long distances in the desert, those nomadic people who would go around in the area of Arabia, they would use that kind of broom tree to light their camps because it would be burning for a long time. And even maybe if they came back a day later, the camp they had set up might still be burning. A broom tree goes on for a long time. It's very effective, and it does not cease for a long time. When God deals with the problem, when God deals with this enemy, the lying lips, the deceitful tongue, he's going to do it effectively. He's going to do it powerfully. And it's going to be the final word. It's going to be the final say. There's no one who's going to upturn the word of God when he has acted to deliver his servant. There's no one who's going to oppose God. He's like a warrior, effectively using these sharp arrows to pinpoint the problem and deal with it in a lasting way. Arrows that have the coals of a broom tree, it lasts, it lingers, it burns. What a great description of God's action. God's not clumsy. God is not ineffective. He's not going to put you to shame when you trust in him. When you say, God, I'm dealing with this enemy that I can't fight. I'm dealing with this problem that I don't have the answers for. God does. He knows exactly where to send the arrow. He knows exactly what is needed to deal with that enemy. There is no enemy too strong for God. There is no problem too complicated for him. When God hears and answers our faithful cries, he's not going to fall short or be ineffectual like we would. We sometimes make problems worse when we try to deal with them ourselves. We don't seek the Lord's leadership and we try to deal with our enemies and, again, just the issues that we face, we often make them worse. But God, he's not going to make things worse. He has the perfect answer. His word's going to be powerful. It's going to be final. And when you trust in the Lord, like the psalmist, you can have that confidence in him. It doesn't matter what you're facing. It doesn't matter what enemy stands up against you. When you trust in God, you're trusting in a warrior who is capable. You're trusting in a God whose answers to our cries go out like arrows, pinpoint the problem, and deal with them. Whether the enemy is a deceitful tongue or even death itself, God is not, he's not unable to fight those battles for us. And you will never be ashamed of the faith you put in him. Serving the Lord in this world, it won't be easy. What was the psalmist trying to do? But we read on, and we saw in the end of end of Psalm 120, we'll read it again in a moment, that he wants peace. He's trying to follow the Lord. He's trying to serve the Lord, but he's facing these enemies in life. And we'll face the same things today. We'll face the lying tongues, the deceiving tongues, and the lying lips. We'll face those enemies that oppose Christ and oppose those who serve him. But we're not left without help. God gives grace to those who humbly trust him. And I think this was the rest that the psalmist found. In fact, he kind of expresses his own grief just in having to dwell among the ungodly, does he not? In verse 5, what does he say? Woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech, that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. Too long have I had my dwelling among those who hate peace. Meshech and Kedar, those were two very far away cities from Israel. I keep getting the names mixed up. You see it? Meshech was up way far northeast of the land of Israel, up near the Black Sea and those things, I think. And the other one in Kedar, it was down further south, way past Israel, even past Edom, down into Arabia. So these were these two far away places, two very foreign places to the land of Israel. And that's why the psalmist uses them here. He says, too long I have been here. He says, woe to me that I sojourn in Meshech and that I dwell among the tents of Kedar. I have been in a foreign place too long. I'm weary. I'm weary of dwelling among people who don't believe in the Lord. People who are not like me. The ungodly. Those who oppose me. Woe to me. I'm weary. He says, it's been too long. It's been too long that I've had to dwell in a foreign land as a traveler. Among people who oppose me. He says, among those who hate peace, even. People who, they don't even want any kind of peace with me. They're not promoting any kind of peaceful relationships. Instead, he says, I am for peace, but when I speak, they're for war. I'm exhausted. I'm tired of dwelling among people who it seems like every time I want to do the right thing and I want to love them and I want to be peaceful with them, they just return that with evil. They return that with hate. They just want to make war with me. They oppress me. They abuse me with lying lips. They abuse me with a deceitful tongue. Again, if you're a child of God, maybe you can relate to that, living in a world of people who don't trust in the Lord, who don't care to promote peace, but instead care about making war, only care about causing issues, only care about hating you and hating the Lord. It's a wearisome thing to have to walk in this world. And we're not supposed to feel at home here, are we? As children of God, our home isn't here. Our home is in heaven. We're citizens of heaven. And so it is a wearisome thing to live in this world. But as we live here, God does not leave us without grace. God does not leave us without help. In fact, God has given us work here to do, and he's given us the grace to do it. The grace we need to have peace, to have rest, and to be servants for him in this world of people who hate peace, people who are for war. The psalmist, he feels out of place, like a believer will today, among, again, the lost, the ungodly. Yet he finds refuge in the Lord. And this psalm is almost one of those where when you get done reading it, you really just kind of have to look back to the beginning, don't you? It seems a little strange to end on that note of the psalmist saying, well, man, I've been here too long. Everyone hates me, even though I love peace. And that's the end of the psalm. You kind of have to go back and remind yourself of where he started. In my distress, I called to the Lord, and he answered me. That's the rest that he had. That was the surety he had. And again, it's going to be a miserable, painful life for those who don't run to God as their refuge when trying to serve here among ungodly people. This morning, I want to ask you, do you take refuge in the Lord? Are you taking refuge in the Lord? Sometimes the only thing standing in the way of our rest, the assurance that we can have here as God's children, is our own pride, right? Sometimes we just need to humble ourselves and say, you know what, I can't handle these enemies that I'm dealing with. I can't handle the problems that I'm facing right now. I don't have that power in myself. The issues I'm facing, they're like lying lips. They're like a deceitful tongue. I don't have any power to stop that, but I know who does, the Lord. You know, eventually I had to just admit that I was not skilled enough to fix my computer. When it came down to it, I had to eventually realize that I did not have that skill set and it was not going to happen. And I was just going to be mad and frustrated until I found someone who did. I wanted to stew in my own proud inability. But if you're a child of God and you find yourself today in distress over a problem, over an enemy that is too much for you, and you know that, why not give that to the Lord? Why not give that to him? You can go in prayer to God, and you can ask him to deliver you, to help me with this. When you ask that out of faith, and you trust in the Lord to help you, you're not trusting in a clumsy archer. You're not trusting in some incapable idol. You are trusting in a warrior who knows what to do better than you do. And he can help you. And you can trust that he will. Lord willing, Brother Matt's eventually going to reach 1 Peter chapter 5, right? One of the great verses in the New Testament about the faith that we can place in God and that the being able to share our concerns with him. In 1 Peter 5, 6 and 7, Peter writes, "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that at the proper time he may exalt you, casting all your anxieties on him because he cares for you." You can go to God in prayer. You can humble yourself and admit to yourself that you can't handle the problem that you're facing and trust God to give you the grace to get through it and to answer the problem for you. And at the proper time, God's going to exalt you. At the proper time, God will lift you up. He'll take care of you. You can cast all your anxieties on him, like Peter says, because he cares for you. What a blessing that we can call out to a God who answers us. There are people in this world who live without that hope. Don't take it for granted if you have that in Christ. Maybe you're facing liars and deceivers. You're facing maybe malicious enemies. They just want bad things for you. Maybe you're facing other kinds of obstacles that just seem unanswerable. Right now, maybe this year, have we not run into problems that we just, I don't know what to do. I don't know what the answer is, God. I don't know how to fix what I'm going through. But God is no mere human that he's confounded by lying lips. God is a well-equipped warrior. He's able to answer our cries in the perfect way. Consider for yourself, has God not proven himself trustworthy already to you? Has God not already proven that he's capable, that he is that shield you can trust in, that he is that refuge you can run to? In fact, he's already dealt with our greatest enemy, death. And if God can deal with death, he can handle the lying lips. He can handle whatever you're facing now. He conquered death. We earned ourselves death by our own sin. But like a skilled warrior, God sent out his son, a sharp arrow, who accomplished the Father's will effectively and completely. That was an enemy that none of us have the power to stop, is the death that we face because of our own sin. But Christ answered that for us. God helped us when we had no power to do so. Christ died in our place, but he was resurrected, giving us hope. He defeated death, providing eternal life for all those who trust in his Son. And if you're here this morning and you've never trusted in Christ as your Savior, you've never made that decision, I pray that you will, and that today you will recognize that death is not something you have any power over. Now, your own salvation is not something that you have any power to answer. Now, that's an enemy that you can't conquer, but the Lord wants to do that for you. He sent his Son to die for you. Without his aid, you're completely unable to overcome the death you've earned, but God offers incorruptible eternal life to all those who believe in him. God is a sure refuge, and I pray that you all recognize that this morning and praise him for it. If you would, please stand as we prepare for an invitation. We'll have a word of prayer. Lord, I thank you for your word and for the assurance you've given us that you are a capable helper in our time of need. Lord, that you're the refuge we need to run to, that you're a sure refuge for us to come to in our time of need. Lord, I don't know all the problems that each and every one of us are facing today, the tasks and the enemies that seem totally out of our power. Lord, I just pray that you would give us all a humble heart as we face issues in this life. Lord, help us all to recognize that without your grace, we can do nothing. But Lord, when we trust in you, you'll deliver the perfect answer to our cries. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We pray you were encouraged by today's message from the Word of God. This sermon audio is available for free on all major podcast formats, as well as our website at northbryantbaptist.org. Thank you for listening.